Come on back into another episode of Game Runs Deep. I'm Sudu. He's Ben. College football is more alive than ever before. Maybe dead even, Ben. I guess you could say dead. A lot of coaching vacancies, but before we get to all that, what's up, man? How's it going?
Good, man. Made my first trip to Norman, Oklahoma for Ole Miss, Oklahoma this weekend. Absolutely killer place. People are fantastic. Got there early before kickoff, about 8 o'clock, pulled into the parking spot, me and a couple of buddies went, because like the campus is pressed up right against like the main downtown, you know?
Yeah.
So like we went to this cool little bar, saw my friends from New Albany, be it Lauren Conley or Melissa Grace, even Cassie Head, Stephen Head's sister, who she tells me like, oh, when my mom saw what happened to you, she was mad. Man, my family, bro. It was a family reunion of Ole Miss people in Norman, Oklahoma. Great place, great people. And the person that actually showed us the bar, one of the very first Oklahoma people we talked to, he's like, yeah, I was there in Oklahoma, in Omaha in 2022 for that series. Like, yeah, well, we were too, you know. So it was so cool. And Ole Miss got a big win, and then obviously all hell broke loose on Sunday as far as the coaching carousel. So an absolutely insane, predictably insane weekend of college football. But even those of us who thought we knew what was coming, because I've been saying on this podcast to you, on my message board at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Fleet of On Three, y'all need to watch for Brian Kelly at LSU now, because I've been hearing some stuff, and sure enough, he's now gone. So, and that opens up another coaching hot board or coaching interest list that leads again to Lane Kiffin. So I'm sure we got plenty to talk about.
Yep, no doubt. It was, I think for me, the last time that job was open, I believe that was when they hired Brian Kelly. LSU always seemed like the job that Lane would leave for. Obviously, things have changed drastically since then, right? But when we were in that kind of time where Brian Kelly was being hired, I believe the Florida job, I think both jobs are open then. I think Auburn was open at that time. I mean, there's a lot of premier jobs open in that coaching cycle too. And out of all the jobs that were open, LSU was the one I feared the most, because I've always looked at LSU, obviously as an Ole Miss person, I don't like LSU. I like going down there. They're fun, but from a sports standpoint, like, do not support them, whatever. But I respect what they do, because it is really easy to win if you're an LSU football coach. That's why Brian Kelly not winning was a bit surprising. You know me, I've never been a fan of Brian Kelly. I was actually going in on this man a week ago on the podcast, and everything I said actually just kind of showed up on national TV this past weekend. So I was like, well, at least I could, you know, I'm a decent judge of character. The way he was yelling at his coaches is exactly what I was talking about a week ago. I'm like, I don't like how he does this. But, you know, Ed Orgeron wanted Natty.
Telling his coach on the sideline that this is what's going to get you fired. I mean, it's really – the cultural fit is really what did it in. I mean, it was – no one is debating whether or not Brian Kelly's a good football coach. He's a good football coach. But, I mean, he won 10 games twice at LSU. Really won – went to an SEC championship game. I mean, this guy really accomplished what you would want someone to accomplish in this new era, but it shows you the expectations of schools that refuse to accept that parity reigns, be it LSU, Florida. I mean, they're all in to do this at about $100 million. At some point, this bubble is going to burst. Boosters are going to say enough is enough. Right now, they haven't gotten to that place yet. LSU fans just won another title. Each of their last four coaches have won before Brian Kelly have won a national championship. But still,
I was going to say that's the thing about LSU, right? I think that was the excitement about Brian Kelly. It was never a fit culturally. Anybody could have told you that, especially if you're an SEC fan. You saw
my
him come
family,
down,
Sudo, the, my family.
Exactly. You come down from that my family moment to just you just knew this was never going to be a fit that worked. But. Nick Saban, Les Miles, Ed Orgeron all won national titles at LSU. LSU is just, it just has always felt like no matter who you are, as long as you can vibe with the culture there, you can win a national title there. And Brian Kelly just was not it. He could never vibe with the culture down there. He could never truly become an LSU Tiger, in my opinion. I never saw it. He never just never felt genuine, man. It just didn't seem like a fit. And there's a list of 10 coaches across college football that aren't necessarily SEC guys that I could see going into Baton Rouge and winning. I mean, Les Miles was at Oklahoma State before he got there, right? But it's just Brian Kelly never gave me, one, SEC coach vibes, but two, in LSU of all places. So I know they're going to have plenty of opportunities to, find whoever that guy's going to be next. I will say, so this was very interesting. I saw this from Front Office Sports. With Brian Kelly's firing now, Ben, college football teams are on the hook for $169 million in buyouts. This was the same sport that there was no money for players just a few years ago. Now we're looking at this year's cycle. Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Billy Napier, Mike Gundy, Sam Pittman, Deshaun Foster, Brent Pry, Trent Bray, Trent Dilfer, Jay Norvell. Jay Norvell has the lowest buyout on that list. Do you know what it is?
Couldn't even guess.
$1.5 million. That's the starting point for getting rid of a coach.
I remember it was historic when Ed Orgeron got like, what was his, $19 million from LSU or something? And
He
was like, man, I'm just going to go, just show me where the door is. You know what I mean? And we are like, heck yeah, Ed, you've got the right idea. You've got the right sensibility. And now Ed Orgeron, the year of our Lord 2025, he's back hawking for a new job. I don't understand it. I don't understand these coaches, man. If I was Brian Kelly and I got $60 million in buyout, getting back in is the last thing I would do. Jimbo Fisher's talking about wanting to get back in now. I mean, like, what are you doing? You've won the lottery. You've got the dream, and your uncontrollable ego will not allow you to move on. It's insanity. But this is going to be an insane cycle for a number of reasons. And we're going to talk about the Lane piece, of course, because, look, I write for the Ole Miss Spirit every day. That's my daily job. This is the only national thing I do is with Sudu talking about all the other stuff every week. Otherwise, I'm at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, Food of On 3. Sign up today for just
$1. Sign up for $1 today. I knew that was coming. There
just
it is.
$1. Sign up today. always be closing, bro. Always be closing.
My buddy, one of my really good friends was like, hey, man, I love how Ben's got that thing down now. It's like every time he starts talking about it, I know that sign up for $1 today is coming.
All I'm saying is if y'all would just sign up and join your boy, you know, I wouldn't say it as much, but also, like, that's what's up. That's how you know it's working. Thank you, friend. Come hang out with us at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, Food of On 3. Sign up today for $1. And that's what I do every single day. So we'll talk about the Lane piece. But when you look at this coaching carousel, a couple of things really stick out. Number one, the money is insane. The bubble is going to burst. I'm not going to cover all that. But it's not happening anytime soon, so it's even pointless to talk about it. But I heard, I can't remember who said it last week, but I've loved the way it was phrased. I think it was on, man, somebody from The Athletic talking like Brad Logan on The Spirit or something. It was really good. He said, this is not the cycle to be buying or be in the shopper's market, because a lot of these schools are going to be selling doubles as if they're home runs. There aren't home runs in this cycle. There aren't. But also, I'm not sure that home runs exist anymore anyway. And some will say LSU fans, Florida fans, well, Lane Kiffin would be a home run. Look, Lane's the hottest ticket right now. You think of Ole Miss as little Ole Miss. Imagine with LSU resources, Florida resources. Brian Kelly was 34-14 at LSU. 34-14. Lane is 51-18 or something like that at Ole Miss. 6 years. Ole Miss is going to have to pony up to pay him. I mean, there's not going to be anything that Ole Miss doesn't do to try to retain Lane Kiffin. Even secured a massive, like, $1.7 billion. Like, they've done this whole fundraising thing, man. Like, they're going to do what they got to do to keep him.
Yeah.
But is it even more of a threat now for Lane to leave Ole Miss because of the LSU opening? Of course it is, because not because that Lane is the hottest candidate for these people, despite the fact 1-10 or 2-10 against top 25 now, because he went and beat Oklahoma. 2-11, I should say, in true road games. Big win for him. That's probably the most consequential win of his career to date, even more important than Georgia. And the timeline with the playoff, of Ole Miss in the playoff, and how it lines up with these jobs is hard too. But he has some real warts on his wet resume, though, is what I'm getting at. Like, last year was, by all accounts, a failure, because you had the third most NFL draft picks and you lost three games, including Kentucky and Florida. Unforgivable was Kentucky. So it's not like Lane Kiffin is one at that level that LSU's and Florida's think that they can get back to with bringing them in as his head coach. But in this pool, he is by far the biggest fish, because this pool isn't great. So, like, I think you could see insane volatility. If you still ask me today, like, hey, man, if you had to put a educated guess on what happens with Lane, well, still today I would say he signs a lucrative extension with Ole Miss. Number one, because if they're in the playoff, it's going to be really hard from a timeline standpoint for Florida and LSU to wait. Also, I don't know if LSU can afford, with that $100 million all-in cost to get rid of Brian Kelly and his staff, on top of what you're going to have to pay Lane, who's probably inching closer and closer to around $13.5-14 million in average annual salary for a guy who hasn't gotten to the playoff, who hasn't won a championship. For him, he can wait out this cycle. Is it best to stay at your place? If you win a title this year, pointless to even talk about it. Where would he go? Even if he did go, Ole Miss fans would go, thank you for doing what we asked you to do. John Summerall, come on down. But, like, John Summerall's going to have his pick. It could be Arkansas as his floor. LSU is going to come after him, talk to him. James Franklin would be absolutely disgusting at LSU, man. I think he would kill
him. I was going to say, I think in all of this, that Lane obviously being at the top makes sense. All these other guys have somehow...
Because he's not proven at what they think is right. Their level, insane because right. Ole Miss has been performing at your level for 6 years.
Sure. But, it's because, obviously, these other guys have somehow failed expectations. Lane has only exceeded expectations.
But it's their own ridiculous, unrealistic expectations,
right. Sudo. Well, of course. Of course.
Like, this year, without a doubt, was a disappointment for LSU. 100%.
To me, the Brian Kelly firing makes 100% sense. It just wasn't a fit. It never felt right. He never felt like he was fully immersed in Louisiana and that culture and those people and that fan base. And you gotta be, 100% you gotta be. That one I'm not arguing about. I still feel weird about James Franklin getting fired for Penn State. Like, I still think he's a great coach. And he didn't win a couple games. And, you know, like we've said it multiple times, you're a touchdown away from being ranked number one in the country. And then you're fired 2 weeks after that. And things have gotten so bad down there that it's sad. It's truly, it is not Happy Valley right now.
And that's the long-winded point I was getting to without actually saying it. It's like the considerations now, this is what Lane Kiffin's going to have to figure out. 3 years, 4 years is about all you got at LSU, Florida. You got to win your title. And even when you win your title, you better not fall down to 9 games, only 9 wins. Last year for Ole Miss was such a disappointment. The money's going to be the same. The timeline doesn't line up, you know, personally. I know there's been some rumors about, well, family members are ready to move on. That's what I've heard a lot from people texting me. I do a podcast every week with Knox. Let's just say I don't see that. I don't get that impression.
Yeah.
And I was down there on the field after Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. I was there when Lane threw his visor into the thing. I knew he didn't say I'm here to stay, but Ole Miss fans are, you know, they're wanting to cling to something for him. It would be ideal for Ole Miss fans if he came out and said, hey, you know, I'm here to stay. Don't worry about all this. It's not going to happen. Number one, he's never had better earning potential than he does right now.
Yeah.
This is the hottest Lane Kiffin has ever been. And if Ole Miss can hold on to him through this cycle, build a statue already, he ain't going nowhere. But, you know, Knox is too, just coming off his first start for Oxford High, won the game.
Shout out the alma mater, by the way, man. Yeah. Back-to-back comeback wins.
Led by Knox Kiffin. He's still got 2 years in high school. Landry's got 2 more years at Ole Miss. You know, like, I think it's more of a realistic possibility that Whit Weeks transfers to Ole Miss than for Lane to be the head coach. But I think they're going to come after him. And the considerations you have to take is, one, like, they're not going to put up with 9-3 as a disappointing year. And as much as you think you're the next guy, like, Brian Kelly had no reason to think he wasn't going to go win at LSU, and he did. And still, he's out with $61 million in buyout. Maybe you're just trying to get the dream job and get the $61 million buyout. To that I say, bully for you, completely understand it. That's the dream. But for what Lane Kiffin has here, it's a much more difficult conversation. There's a greater likelihood today that Lane Kiffin isn't at Ole Miss next year than there was on Saturday after Ole Miss beat Oklahoma. But also, that win over Oklahoma was important for that specifically as well. Because the timeline is really, like, if they're playing into a playoff in January, you got to keep winning. You got 3 losable games still: South Carolina, Florida, Mississippi State. But if you keep winning, you're in the playoff.
Yeah,
it's going to be really hard. But he's still going to get paid. He's still going to get his 13.5 to $14 million a year to reset the market. And then Kirby's going to come in and get 16 until the bubble.
I was going
to
say with
eventually
that
bursts.
We mentioned it last week. Those numbers are just going to keep going.
But you have to consider all that stuff against the backdrop of, look what's happened to Brian Kelly. Look what's happened. Like, Billy Napier, yeah, he just blew his shot. But look at what Florida is, where it's at right now as far as hiring and firing coaches. I had the stats right in front of me. Let me pull it back up real quick. Hold on. The third coach they fired in 10 years, 34-14 was Brian Kelly at LSU. And you're telling me this toxic expectation and this toxic fan culture, both at LSU and Florida, a lot of it built on past history and the delusion of what actually is happening today. Like, I completely understand why LSU, as I've been saying on this pod, was going to happen. Like, y'all need to watch Brian Kelly at LSU. The culture fit, that's what really did it more than anything. So the minute you gave him a reason to fire you. But still, like, the toxicity of these fan bases and the delusion for where the sport is in 2025, they better start appreciating other candidates too, because there is just as much a chance that Lane says, yeah, I like what I got here, and I'm winning at that level, and I don't have to deal with all that, and I got the money, and all then he says, yeah, LSU, give me that challenge. Florida, give me that challenge, because at Florida and LSU, he's just the next guy. At Ole Miss, he is the guy. If they get through this cycle with Lane still as the head coach, Buddy, build the statue. That's what's coming. Flipping the visor or throwing the clipboard, put it right in front of Vaught Hemingway Stadium. They might call it Vaught Kiffin Stadium, you know, like or at Kiffin Field. That's how big this is. This is Ole Miss's modern era Bear Bryant or your Nick Saban LSU. So remember when Nick left for LSU, like that was even when he went to Alabama, he was LSU Nick Saban, right? So are you thinking that Lane's going to be that guy for you that comes to your Alabama in this scenario, LSU, and does things better? Maybe. But I will say that, like, considering the toxicity of everything around your programs, yes, money matters, and Ole Miss is going to pay that money. The real question is you really want to give up that security in this world that has never been more impatient, never given less of a crap about your family situation or you know, all that matters for them is the baseline wins or losses. Those things are being considered. And if you as an LSU and Florida fan don't recognize that toxicity and how it's being used against you, then I'm sorry, you're in for some disappointment. But you need to, like, really understand how good candidates like James Franklin are. Like,
There's tons of good
John
candidates.
Sumrall.
To me, John Gruden makes a lot of sense, too. I've been saying this. I'm like, I think he would thrive in this era of college football because he's traditional enough. He's X's and O's, knows the sport inside and out, knows how to work with quarterbacks directly, but he still has that mascot type personality that can draw young people in, that can work in this era of NIL, that can raise money. He's somebody I think, you know, John Gruden's name has come up pretty much almost every year I can think of that he hasn't been coaching for a college job. Usually it's for Tennessee. Tennessee fans for years, the groomers obviously have been going on, right? But in this new era now, you know, obviously where he could go into a Florida and, like, you can immediately start winning. At Florida, it hasn't always been an issue, but because of NIL, you could just step right in, get your guys through the portal, and you're cooking, right? I think he could 100% do that. Florida is great, but honestly, LSU, think of John Gruden at LSU and how good of a fit that would be.
Never going to happen, man.
It won't. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying I know that there's tons of candidates within college football, but I literally just watch John Gruden all the time and go, this guy would kill it at a school that requires you to have this kind of energy and passion. And boy, those Cajuns down there would lose it, Ben. They would love some John Gruden. He would fit so well.
He would, but like for me, what I'm looking at with LSU, they're going to swing for Lane Kiffin. That's what they're going to go for first.
No doubt.
I don't know if they're going to be able to afford him. I think Florida's got a better financial path to really make it uncomfortable for Ole Miss than LSU does. But still.
What's going on with LSU? Their governor is in charge now because they don't have a president. I mean, what all is happening? You got to report to the governor now if you're the next head coach of LSU?
That's what I'm saying. Like, while Ole Miss has got the Peach Bowl and the Gator Bowl and all these bowl reps, like the old things we used to care about at the Oklahoma game, you got the governor of Louisiana weighing in on a football coach at Louisiana State. I mean, like, this is insanity to me. It really is. But, like,
and if you're Lane Kiffin, who has had full autonomy, who's had, I mean, the AD and president are there as your resources, not really as your bosses at Ole Miss. Let's be real. I mean, they are. At the end of the day, they decide if he stays or goes, but they're there to go, hey, Lane, we'll give you whatever it takes for you to win. Tell us what you need. And to go from that to, I have to now report to the governor of Louisiana. You know, I'm not saying he won't take the job if offered or whatever. I'm just saying
that's
a very different dynamic to go from full autonomy to, oh my God, the governor is now my boss.
Like, not only full autonomy, but, like, Keith is giving him everything. And, like, there's an offer on the table for him right here and now. Like, the extension is on the table.
Yeah.
But, of course, Lane, he's been consistent. He doesn't talk about or really entertain this stuff in season. Ole Miss fans would prefer it because they're sitting on pins and needles. I'm telling you, now, with this cycle, as insane as it is, and Lane being the one that everybody wants to at least talk to, it's going to be hard as heck. But it's not going to be because of anything Ole Miss didn't do. Like, sure. Ole Miss is going to match Penn State, LSU, Florida. They have the money to do that. Average annual value for the salary and the bonus pool for the coaches, bumping up Billy Glasscock from top 20 to top 10 as a general manager. You know, there's a lot of connective tissue, and one of those is his relationship with Keith Carter specifically. Like, Keith's the one down there. He's celebrating with Lane. Lane's throwing the visor. Keith's right there beside him, just as fired up. Meanwhile, what is LSU's power structure? There's one man that Lane really talks, like, deals with. And I'd say Chancellor Boyce to an extent, but, like, Boyce has been really good about staying in his lane until he's asked to come to the sports arena, which is something that chancellors at Ole Miss in the old days would have never given up and never would have done.
No, so, I mean, the chancellor when I was growing up was a former football player. It was Robert Kiyak, right?
So. And Ed Orgeron got him into a football stance at USC, and Ole Miss hired the defensive line coach at USC to be their head coach, you know, just because, like, he played to that.
Out of all the ridiculous player. Ole Miss stories, sure. including where Chuck, if our national listeners don't know Chuck Ronzaville, he's a fixture of Ole Miss media. But there was one point that the interim AD of Ole Miss Athletics, or the AD, I can't remember, asked this man to choose the mascot for the school because that's just, I mean, those are the type of people. It was a different time.
It was small time.
That was now, little Ole Miss that everybody thinks they are now. Those were the little Ole Miss days where you could bring Chuck and Jeff into a room and go, all right, which mascot do you think we should
like
pick?
Chuck and Jeff, Jeff especially, quite literally, Jeff's now, he doesn't work with us in the spirit anymore, but
Jeff Robertson.
He's there. Come hang out with him. You'll see him. Chuck's there too. They quite literally played probably one of the most principal, important roles in Ole Miss hiring Mike Bianco as its baseball coach. Think about that.
Two media guys, like two members of the media.
It was this is not what it is anymore. There is a separation. Right. And the power structure is, as far as football is concerned, Keith Carter, Lane Kiffin, and a completely and unadulterated supporting chancellor for sports. For basketball, it's Beard and it's Kiffin, and it's Carter. You know what I mean? Like, it's streamlined. Like, that's the power structure. These coaches have incredible power over their own programs and have complete buy-in from a community that says, hey, we trust you. You're doing what you said you'd come here to do. We'll keep giving you what you need. Again, at some point, the money is going to get to such an absurd level. It's already there. But there's going to be a tipping point, a bursting point.
Sure.
It's not there yet. And Ole Miss, in this environment, is absolutely thriving because of its overwhelming competency and being a program that means what it says and says what it means. That's been a big reason why the Grove Collective has been so successful. No, Ole Miss has not paid top dollar for every single transfer, but they've won the third most games in the SEC over the last 5 years because they're better at scouting and development, and the allocation of resources is a streamlined process to where it's like, all right, we don't want to pay $1.5 million for A.J. Halsey. I think we can get similar production from a Sage Ryan and Ricky Fletcher and Antonio Kite because they had to spread it out a little bit. And you'll say at Florida, well, we'll give them all those things. Y'all got chefs, way too many chefs in y'all's kitchens. Way too many chefs. There's a wait a second. No, I ain't giving $1.5 million to A.J. Halsey. No, buddy, you're getting you better give it to him. We're not taking these. This is my guy. No, Lane decides because he's the CEO of a big business. A big business is kicking tail in the year of our Lord 2025. And when you look around at these other toxic environments, yes, you're LSU, you're awesome. Florida, you're awesome. But as far as being a job that everybody wants anymore, they want the resources, just like you say, you can give it to them. But do you think Lane Kiffin, who could quite literally stay at Ole Miss at this point for as long as he wanted to, he's 50 years old, he's got probably one more or two more maybe, coaching moves in his back pocket. But, like, he would be Ole Miss's Bear Bryant. He would be Ole Miss's Nick Saban. Same thing. Or he can go be the next guy there and maybe be out in 3 years because if he wins 10, goes 10-2, 9-3 like he typically does, and that's not just at Ole Miss, you're not going to like that. You're not going to ever like Florida playing in the Gator Bowl against Duke.
No.
All right? Ole Miss fans didn't, but they went along with it anyway. Right? LSU fans, y'all would fire him if he took Garrett Nussmeier and Harold Perkins and Barry and Brown and went 5-3, right? Y'all do the same thing to him. If you don't, and to have all his family here, we've been through all this, like all of that stuff. You just really need to stop viewing this. And we keep saying the same damn thing, Sudo, and it's frustrating.
I know.
We got to look through the lens of what 2025 is, regardless of what you think of Ole Miss. You want to think it's OPS? OPS? Fine.
Yeah, that's my favorite part about our trolls on, you know, YouTube and TikTok. I wouldn't even say trolls. These are just people that I clearly didn't understand anything
we've talked about the last couple of this podcasts.
But look, at the end of the day, like, Ben and I are trying to tell you, reframe your mindset on how you view all programs across college football. We're not telling you certain – nobody, and I said this last week, I'll say it again because now LSU is opposite. Nobody should be saying that Ole Miss is a better program or more resourced university than LSU or Florida. These are bigger, just bigger universities. Their population size and student body, it's bigger. What we're trying to tell you is you need to reframe the way you view these college football programs, because big and facilities and all those kind of things that used to mean a lot don't mean as much anymore. It's at the end of the day, it's about the checkbook you can open up and write whatever amount you want to. And I get it. Their argument is, well, you could do the same thing at Florida and LSU plus all those other things. And we're trying to say plus does not matter anymore. It's about fit and it's about happiness. Like, and I mentioned Kurt Cignetti last week, and I had some people comment and go, what has Kurt Cignetti won? It's not about what has he won. It's about he decided that Indiana would be a better place for him to stay because that's where he felt comfortable. You don't think Kurt Cignetti wants to win a national title? You don't think he's a competitor? Hell yeah, he is. Would it not be easier, according to your argument, to do that at a Penn State for Kurt Cignetti? Based on their argument, yes, it would. But guess what? He found a home in Indiana. He clearly likes it there. He wants to build it into a national power, and that was his fit. And that's more so what we're saying.
The same. It's like I told you last week. For goodness sake, Ole Miss, you know, Lane said it on his Sunday teleconference. He was our press conference with local media or Zoom call. He was like, we don't really get a lot of elite players out of high school. First of all, that's horseshit. Ole Miss is top 20 every single year.
Also, that's the other thing. Let me cut in real quick. Everybody loves to talk about pipeline. Pipeline this, pipeline that. I'll tell you what. Yeah, there is a pipeline in Florida and LSU. Guess what, man? A lot of those kids that you get from in-state, they're in the portal now. This is what I'm saying. Like, reframe how you're viewing everything. Is Ole Miss going to get the best players from the state of Florida and Louisiana? Hell no. But guess what? They're going to trickle through that transfer portal into Oxford. That's going to happen. And other programs as well. We're just talking about Ole Miss specifically right now. But so, like, your pipeline shit, it's awesome on National Signing Day. When you got the five stars,
never mattered less.
And it's all you're at the top. And then guess what? Come portal season, guess who's top four every year? It's the little school in Mississippi is top four every year with all your best players. You mean to tell me, Florida fan, that Princely Umane Mielen leaving didn't prove to you that shit just doesn't matter the way it used to?
Oh, like, we didn't want him, Sudu. We didn't want him.
I love when they try to say that. We didn't want him. It's like
insane. Look. Like, here, to show y'all, we're not just being stupid Ole Miss homers here. Seriously. Ole Miss did not take Sage Ryan and Deshaun Womack from LSU. No, they were given to Ole Miss. They're like, really? Okay, go for it. We're not paying them. They made a business decision about those two players. Turns out LSU was right. Sage Ryan has been a disappointment. He's really struggled. Deshaun Womack has been a disappointment. Because you have to talk about, if you're going to be a top 10 NIL earner, I'm not trying to be mean. It's not personal. It's
no, business. I think we agree like, very
you're not
much
performing up to the pay structure that was agreed to. Right? This is big business. And the best businesses don't have as many chefs in the kitchen or as many CEOs around the boardroom table as Florida and LSU do. A lot of them have nothing to do, should have nothing to do with the structure of football. And you're asking them, like, I know you and LSU fan would say, oh, well, the governor won't do anything with Lane. You say that. But would you when you were going to get Brian Kelly and thought y'all pulled one on Notre Dame, did y'all think the same thing? Oh, Brian Kelly would be fine. Like, governor can meddle. Meddling, and that's why Kirk Cignetti – when you can build, like, legacy building, if money's all the same and you can win, like, if I asked you objectively, not just Sudu, but the people watching, objectively, be honest, who's closer to winning a national championship right now, Ole Miss, Florida, or LSU?
Well, only one team is in playoff contention, so that should be a pretty easy answer.
And that's for this year and for next year, because a lot of the roster returns. Not to mention that they sign the number one transfer class every single year, it seems like. They're going to be top three at the very worst, because few, if any, are better at allocation of resources than Ole Miss and the great Walker Jones. Walker Jones, who's friends with Lane. Lane says, we need a safety. Gotcha. This is who we're going. Done.
Walker Jones, who's friends with some other people we know.
Walker
might have been at his wedding.
Walker rules. Walker's my guy. Show Dog, his friend, Eli Andy, my dude, was on my podcast Talking Champions last week. I love these people. And that's the process. Keith, you need anything? No, I got it. Walker's doing the thing. All right, cool. Moving on. Got that done. It's different. Meanwhile, you got cats in Baton Rouge, and you got cats in Gainesville going, wait a sec. You don't know that that's who we need. We need another It's Lane, Keith, and when they need the money, Walker. You know, like, it's just
– it's streamlined. It's a very simple,
there is a clear structure,
and it's organized. And
I'm not going to say the Ole Miss coach that said it, but he said, man, listen, here's the truth. With every recruit, if we can get it where it's not a money issue, like we're paying exactly what LSU is paying, Florida's paying, and all this paying, Ole Miss wins. Ole Miss gets that recruit. Like, Oxford sells itself because of that insulary nature.
But there's no target in Oxford, Ben. There's one in Gainesville. You know, Lane loves Target.
There's a Home Goods. They're about the same to me. You know what I mean? I feel like
those are the type. Those are the type of arguments that I'm hearing.
Done
and seeing.
With them, dude.
Well, there's not even a Target at Oxford. He has a private plane. Why does he care about a Target at Oxford?
And that's what I'm saying to people too. It's like, I don't know what he's gonna do.
Right.
Everybody asks me this. If I'm dropping off my kids at school. If I just text messages from friends I hadn't heard from in a minute, and there's been a lot of you, and I know you know who I'm talking about. Not you, Sidhu, but the person watching this. A lot of texts from people who I don't hear from very much, but they want to know, do you think Lane stays? I think, as of today, it's a complete and total coin flip.
I agree.
I don't have any clip. But like, as far as the Ole Miss end, which is what I'm paid to cover, and Lane's a part of the Ole Miss end, there's going to be absolutely no restrictions on Ole Miss meeting or matching anything that any school offers. At the end of the day, if Lane decides he just wants to go try something at one of these schools, great.
Awesome. And to be fair, like, to me, LSU is a top five college football job. Florida, I'm sorry, Florida fan. Florida's awesome. It's not the same.
It's not LSU.
LSU, Ohio State, Alabama, and I throw Texas in there. Maybe Michigan, maybe, would be in the top five, but those would kind of be
my whole deal is, like, all of those jobs are great jobs. Ole Miss is just a great job, too. Does it have the same amount of money as y'all do? No, but they know how to spend it better. Hey, they know how to spend it better. And if the money's all the same, Ole Miss usually wins. So is Lane staying or going? Past history says he's still going to stick around because of everything else. The money isn't the issue. The resources aren't the issue. Y'all don't got as much as we do. No, but they do it better than you do. More efficiently than you do.
And like
they do it. There is uniformity here. You could, I mean, go around, talk to the boosters. Everybody knows. Well, I'll give that. Yeah, I'll make sure to give my so-and-so to the Grove Collective. Oh, yeah, we need this for that. Oh, yeah, cool. I'll go make sure to let Walker know that I'm held. Like, just everybody's pulling the same. It's not like somebody goes, oh, well, I'm only going to give you my $500 if I can come hang out at practice and get a signature from the fucking football coach. That's not how any of that's working.
I would love to bring. Now I got to turn on the explicit content thing. Thanks, but now you're good.
You got me that E on Apple. I had not had that E since I started it in like this iteration, 2016. All of a sudden, Game Runs Deep pops up. I got an E now. You know, explicit label for my guy Sue.
I'm just as responsible. But I'll say this: I'd love to have Walker on sometime, maybe in the next few weeks, just to talk about how much the giving has increased since Lane has been in the conversation. I would love to hear those numbers from Walker Jones, because
I'm texting him now. That's a great idea. That's fantastic.
Please do. I'd love to talk to him about that next week, because I know for a fact that I have friends who, like I said, I'm 30 now, but I my friend group is somewhere in that 25 to 30 plus range. And I have friends kind of on the younger end of that who were like, dang, dude, I think I'm going to sign up. And I think I've told the story on the podcast when Grove Collective first kind of became a thing. It was like a social currency to have the Grove Collective visor and have the polo and different kind of things. And, you know, over the last year, I think the people that want to give, they give. But just over this past week, I've had people be like, maybe I should give more money, or are you giving money? And I've seen these discussions in group chats and stuff I'm in. And so, yeah, people, they care. It means a lot at that school. And football is king, and people are willing to invest in it and do whatever it takes to win. That is in no way, shape, or form has anything to do with LSU and Florida being historically good programs, bigger schools, better recruiting hotbeds. All those things can still be true, and you can still acknowledge that college football has changed exponentially, and the discussion is just not the same as it used to be. And it's fine. You can go on YouTube and TikTok and put in comments and say, hey, you know, this guy's a homer, or who is this guy with 3,000 followers? Lane Kiffin's going to listen to him. It's not about him listening to me. It's about me trying to reframe the discussion that you should be having, or the mindset you should be having. And
all these jobs are awesome.
They are. And move away. It's all about moving away from that pompous attitude, which you guys have rightfully earned, by the way. Florida has won national titles, has been competitive in multiple sports. LSU, same thing. Like I said, LSU to me is a job where you're almost guaranteed to win a national title. It's almost like you walk in, you fit in with the culture, you hire the right staff, and it recruits itself. You're going to get the talent. As long as you have competent coaching, you can win a national title there. Don't get me wrong. But that's where Ole Miss is heading. And if Lane is comfortable with family there, son's at Oxford High School, wife, ex-wife has now moved back, daughter goes to Ole Miss. We always talk about this E60 that ESPN did, obviously, and just him talking about his difference and how much Oxford has changed him, and he needed Oxford, and his life is just slower now, and that's a good thing for him, and all these. So it's a combination of factors. And then you go to the football business side and go, well, they have the same money as all these other schools to compete. So then it's an amalgamation of all those things put together. And then you go, okay, now we understand the case that these Ole Miss people are making. They're not saying Lane won't leave.
We're saying it's not one way or the other. Why don't you just start giving Ole Miss his flowers a little bit? That's all we're saying. Like, give Ole Miss some credit here.
Yeah.
Because while you think, oh, sorry, Ole Miss fan, watching this, these boys are stupid, they're lying to you, Lane's gone. It's a complete coin flip to me right now. Yeah. If you made me guess based on the information I know, because I get asked all day, every day by everybody, I still think that the most likely outcome is he's Ole Miss's head coach next year. Not the least of which, because if they make a playoff run, the timeline is going to be difficult. But the money in the Ole Miss end is not going to be a deterrent in any way.
Sure.
There's not going to be something that he's missing or lacking. We're just saying that Ole Miss, this is not about Ole Miss being better than Florida. This isn't about Ole Miss being better than LSU, better than Penn State. It's just that Ole Miss is now pulled even with y'all in terms of how it operates. Does it have as much as you? No. But it spends its money better. It's smarter about how it spends its money. And I promise you, the give a shit per capita here is way more than what you think it is in Gainesville and LSU. Y'all got people that say they're about that business but aren't. Every person here is. Even students who watch this podcast and go, oh, shoot, yeah, I need to get to the Grove Collective. I have it. Are you doing that, every Florida fan? Because y'all have unlimited resources because you're Florida, right? But yet, y'all really struggle to beat people with NIL money? Really? Ole Miss, when it came to paying $11 million or raising $11 million for it, they raised $11 million. You just got to tell them what it needs to be. Oh, well, I saw where y'all were sixth in the SEC. Well, Ole Miss will go be what it needs to be for next year. And, yeah, they might not end up number one because y'all react. Y'all reactive and not proactive. That's why you're behind in hiring your fourth coach in 10 years. You know, Ole Miss will keep trotting along. And if they win a title this year, and you can honestly can't say that they won't, I mean, I don't think they're going to, but I think they're beelining now to the playoff. You've got three losable games. And if Lane wins that, you think he's going to go like, oh, well, maybe he does. I've accomplished all I can here. Ole Miss, you're awesome. They'll still build him a statue and then go hire their John Sumrall.
Sure.
Meanwhile, you're going to shit all over John Sumrall and James Franklin in a coach's pool, hiring pool. That isn't great. And these guys could win for you just as much. They have the same kind of, but you won't flash. You want to win headlines. All Ole Miss fans want is the same uniform thing, win a national championship. And at the end of the day, Lane Kiffin is going to go or stay where he feels like he can win a national championship, period. And if Ole Miss just – if you think Ole Miss is going to be that team, okay. But it's not going to be because they don't pay for it. It's not going to be because they don't give. They don't have the commitment for it, or they're too small, or they have this, that. Do y'all have $1.7 billion committed? Do you? Awesome. Y'all gonna make it really hard for Lane Kiffin to stay at Ole Miss, but also still gonna be hard because Ole Miss can meet you in that arena. I'm saying give Ole Miss some credit here. That it is a coin flip whether or not Ole Miss will hold on to Lane Kiffin through a coaching cycle that includes Penn State, LSU, Florida, Arkansas. He chose Ole Miss over Arkansas all those years ago. Lane Kiffin, if he gets through this cycle as Ole Miss's coach, build the statue. Regardless if in 2 years when Knox has gone to college and Landry has gone to move on with her life, 2 years, these jobs come open again because that's what they do at Florida, at LSU. Then it might be a lot easier for him because the ties that bind aren't severed, but they're just a little bit different. And by that point, like Lane Kiffin wants to know if he can win a national championship as soon as possible at Ole Miss, LSU, or Florida. Right now, that's Ole Miss, including right now when it actually matters.
Yeah. Without a doubt.
So don't worry about it, Ole Miss fan. Like, say it with your chest a little bit. Like, you're going to be fine, too. Thank God for Lane Kiffin not only elevating the way that he did, but, like, now it's moved beyond, well, if we don't have Lane Kiffin, we're screwed. They're better with Lane Kiffin. That's not what I'm saying, right? Like, he's a walking economy for the Oxford community. He wouldn't be let. It would be more muted in Gainesville. And maybe he wants to be a national media personality when he gets out of here and he thinks, well, I need to go do the LSU thing on the floor. Cool, maybe that's part of it. I don't think so. What I think is that Ole Miss has done a tremendous job of making it a coin flip that he wouldn't leave to go to Penn State, Florida, LSU, or any of these jobs. The fact that it is not a sure thing should make you go, hey, that's pretty awesome for Ole Miss. Now, we want your coach. Cool. I'll get it. Come after him. We're just saying, like, damn, stop trying to treat Ole Miss and what it's done for 6 years as if they're just little brother that needs to stay in the closet. You know what I mean? Chill out. That needs to stay stuffed in the locker is a better way to put it. Like, in the locker. Like, chill.
What I'll say to wrap up
this
point.
It's a coin flip, but it's just as much a chance he stays than he goes.
Yeah. It's funny because I've entertained so many people in Oxford in the Grove, right? Game day, everybody wants to come. And I think they hear about it and the novelty of it and tents and chandeliers and all this, and they go, oh, okay, that sounds cool, yeah. And then they come, especially for a big game, and they walk around the Grove and they meet people and everyone's kind to them.
Because we're all nice to you. We try
drinks.
To be like, there's some jerks, but
yeah,
like they're probably
they see the beautiful women.
They're probably outsiders from Georgia and Houston, Texas. You know what I mean?
Florida, Texas. I mean,
Ole Miss because they're just regressive assholes that want to cosplay like their Civil War love fest by yelling in the middle of our songs and stuff. Chill. You know what I mean? Like, Ole Miss
isn't
what you think it is, person who's yelling on the internet.
My point is they'll come and every single time, almost, I cannot think of a time that this hasn't happened. Maybe Alabama, I think Alabama people will be like, oh no, this is awesome, I love the Grove, but I'll still take Tuscaloosa on a game day. LSU people will say that. I had a friend, a very close friend, a Florida fan. I brought him to the Georgia game last year. We walked around, we did the whole thing. He saw the culture, everything. And I said, this or Gainesville? And he said, no comment. Mm. And the same guys text me every day talking about, hey, good luck with whoever you guys are going to get. Thanks for Lane. And I always text him back and say, you're going to get James Franklin. You're going to like it.
You're going to like it.
And you know, in his head, it's like, that's Oxford. That's Ole Miss. But it's like, hey, man, you're the same guy when I brought to the Grove. You couldn't answer the question of where would you rather be on a game day? What was the better environment tailgate-wise for you just on the game day? And it was. And so anyone that has to say something bad about, oh, it's Oxford, Mississippi, this, that, and the other, has never been to Oxford. I'm not saying Oxford's the greatest town in the world. I grew up there. I obviously love it. It's home. I'm not saying it's the greatest place in the world, but it's a damn impressive town, and it's fun, and it's a fit for so many people. And when you go, it will charm the hell out of you.
See, here's the thing.
And
if
so
you're an
I think
Ole Miss
that's
fan,
just worth
like,
considering.
I think that's a great way to put that, and well said. So we'll move on with this very simple thing. While you Florida fan would go, oh, if we get James Franklin, I'm going to be pissed. Ole Miss fan would say, hey, if we win a national championship this year and then sign James Franklin to replace Lane Kiffin, we'll be fine. Like, that's – I mean, because I'm like, Matt Rhule could go to Penn State. He also could go to LSU. You know, well, no, we want Lane. We want Lane. Well, I mean, do you not think Ole Miss would engage Matt Rhule for $13 million a year? I don't think he'd be worth that. You know what I mean? I would rather go with John Sumrall, who's been operating. I know John Sumrall will be one of the very first calls made, and assuming he doesn't get one of these jobs like that.
Makes sense. I mean, Summerall makes a ton of sense too, because obviously he's been on staff under Lane and he's familiar with that.
But more than that, he completely replicated the Lane Kiffin model on a smaller scale at G5 at Tulane.
Yep,
the transfer stuff and like how he trolls and acts a fool on Twitter. Give him a bigger platform, he could check a lot of boxes. But like, you would be disappointed in John Summerall?
Yeah.
How friggin' delusional
isn't that
do you
crazy?
Have to be?
But like, but for Florida, that makes sense, I guess, because they went sort of that route with Billy Napier, like where, you know, coming from Monroe, did a great job down there.
Then hire John Gruden like Sudo said.
Yeah. I think Gruden would be great. And also worth mentioning, anything Ole Miss we talk about, by the way, is brought to you by Bank of New Albany. Ben, give them the spiel, man.
BNA Bank is my hometown bank. Thank you for letting me bring this up, Sudo. I'm from New Albany, born and raised, still live here. Oxford is where I go to work. I went to Ole Miss. Y'all know those things. But to be able to still live in this community, not the least of which because I know the people who
He's not a real Oxonian, folks.
Yeah, well, I'm not. But I am, but I'm not. You know, but y'all are my family, bro, especially after what happened to me. Bro, y'all have no idea. Like, I have my love for this place has never been higher. But anyway, so, like, I live here because it's my home, and, like, I love knowing everybody everywhere I go. I know who runs El Agave. You know, that's my guy Moses. I know who runs BNA. That's my guy Whit Spencer, the Spencers, Mike Staten, Bob, Carolyn. And, man, when I tell you, as someone who took way too long to learn how to be an adult financially, these people have been sent by God. I mean that sincerely. God is good. And whether you sign up with them or not, I'm just glad to say that BNA Bank, I'm so thankful for them. And if you want to, you know, come be friends with them too, 662-534-8171. That's 662-534-8171.
Love it. Hey, somehow Hugh Freeze has outlasted Brian Kelly, James Franklin, Billy Napier, Mike Gundy. The other guys on the list aren't as surprising, but. I mean, come
on, man. He's a survivor. He's going to make it. He's a survivor. My God. Good for him. Because I was sitting there in the press box at Oklahoma, and I turned around. It was 10 to nothing. I was like,
I told you that this was going to be his undoing, and somehow they just couldn't hang on. Arkansas couldn't hang on, but, man,
In Mississippi State, y'all – Mississippi State, dude.
Brutal.
I was there for you. I called it. I was in my Airbnb.
I was sweating watching that band going, oh, Ben's going to get me on this one.
I was like, Jeff, man, they're up 17. I'm like, Jeff, dude, you got you one. Way to go, man. Like, there's a lot of people over there. Aiden Williams, you know, Aiden, get you one, baby. Go get you one. What are we doing? And all my buddy with me, all he kept yelling was, how does Arch keep getting away with this? Like, how does he keep getting to be this bad? To which I made the joke about, well, you better hush, Ole Miss fan. He's going to be your quarterback next year, and let's not go there. But, yeah, Mississippi State let me down, just as Arkansas lets you down. But Hugh Freeze, good for you, man, because it was 10-0. I was like, hell, that one's going to be fine. And then it was 20-10, like really fast. He had to come back on that one, Sue. And, yeah, I thought all I could think, just like when you were watching State, was, oh, Ben's going to get me on this one. Watching this one, I went, dang, Sudo completely called that right down the line, like the whole time. He knew.
Man, I thought Bobby Petrino was going to be the undoing of Hugh, but good for Hugh, man. He survived. And, you know, I don't know how true this is. I can't even tell you where I saw it, but I've read or heard that Auburn people are like giving him more of a leash because they're like, well, we should have won at least two games. We got screwed on is their mindset.
Well, and you know what? I agree with that. That's where it's like LSU fan. I get losing to Vanderbilt in 1 year and then turning around and getting embarrassed by Texas A&M. You're saying to yourself, because Texas A&M's made me embarrassed too. Cause I've said like, I didn't buy him, but like you have to, we'll get to that.
I was going to say, yeah.
And we got to bless hearts, but like real quick about LSU. It's like, the rational move, I know you want to win now. It's all about now, now, now. And it's that obsession with now, now, now is why it's so much of a coin flip, if not still in favor of Ole Miss to retain Lane Kiffin. Because Ole Miss has made it about the now, yes. Like the now, the money is there, whatever the resources needs to be, whatever, it is there. But it's also about, like, he's become an adult here. He's got real family here. And it's not just about now. Like, he will always be a part of Ole Miss, whether he moves on this offseason or not. Like, he will be immortalized here for what he did in the modern era. He's the fastest coach in Ole Miss history to 60 wins or whatever it was, 65 wins, 70, I don't know. But, like, he's He's a record setter. He's won more 10-win – has had more 10-win seasons in the modern era than anybody. He's the winningest coach. But like, the only one that's comparable as far as wins and losses is Johnny Vaught. Like, the guy who was on the stadium.
Right. Who has Vaught a statue, anyway. which by the way, was pre-integration. So, since then, you haven't had a coach of that stature.
So,
you could make the argument already. You could make the argument already that Lane Kiffin is the best head coach.
He just wants his title. He wants his title. And I get it, bro. And that's the thing. They're 7-1 now. They just beat Oklahoma in a massive game, and it was pretty dang impressive.
And like, also, to me,
you know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To me, what is so impressive about the way they're playing this season, they're doing it with a Swiss cheese defense that can barely stop the run game, and a Division II transfer quarterback. And you put that up against the roster they had a year ago to now, and you're going, how in the hell are they doing it? I think it's because this is Lane Kiffin's.
Better than you at roster putting it together, man.
Roster, but dude, this might be his best coaching job, Ben. This might actually be the best coaching job he's ever done. Might be this program this year. And if
I think I'm with you. This is the first time I've thought of that, and I'll say I'm with you. I think I'm completely on board.
I mean,
with
dude, their offensive game plans and like everything, you know, outside of what happened in the second half against Georgia, late third quarter on, has been better than I think I've seen it since the score from far Lebby days.
My God, Lev, you were so close.
He was so good, man. He was so good as the OC.
And they were so close against Texas. Brandon Walker, dude, you've been done wrong by your boys at Barstool. Like, I felt your pain watching your stuff, man.
Did
like,
you watch like, that edit they made?
Yes, dude. Like, I'm just going to put it out. Just say, I've been there, man. And I'm just like, I've never felt more like. I've never felt like I know Brandon Walker better than I do today. Like, I'm sympathetic to your plight, man, because, like, buddy, that was brutal.
We get it. We remember Auburn 2014. We remember Arkansas 2015. We've been in those situations, Brandon.
Yeah, 4th and 25, like, that was, like, that was your 4th and 25 moment. And, buddy, when I say that's I don't wish that on anyone, I mean that. And that looked like – was it funny? Objectively hilarious. But also, sympathize with you. I really do. And,
no
like,
doubt.
Man, I really wanted it. And that's what's crazy. State's wearing that MSU script on the helmet, bro. And I'm like, and I was talking about this with my friends that went with me on the Oklahoma trip, Witten Parks. And it was I'm telling you, that place rules. I'm so thankful for Norman, the people.
I need to go to Norman. Shout out to my buddy Jeff Langham, rules. By the way. He's a season ticket holder, was texting me during the game, was so classy about it. And he literally told me, he said, I think Ole Miss is my favorite fan base in the SEC outside of our own. And
well, they are so nice. They seem awesome. And so welcoming and so cool. And like, they're not loud in the stadium because they're kind of like Ole Miss in that way, I guess. I was shocked. Like, this is 83,000. I can hear myself talking. Like, it's nothing.
I was also told that, you know, so Oklahoma is known for their, because of those Big 12 games where they would always kick off at like 11 a.m. I will say, I always remember when I was younger, maybe coming up high school, whatever, when game day would end, it would always be an Oklahoma game. So, you know, I was kind of like, oh, shoot, like these guys know how to get up because they've been in so many of these games. And I was texting some people that were there, and even my friend from Oklahoma, and he was like, this is the worst 11 a.m. crowd I've ever seen. And then I was like, okay, maybe God's on our side today. You know, maybe it's going to work out.
Yeah, especially when it kept raining when I was told it was moving out. You know, I was like, uh-oh, yep. And that thumb surgery for John Materkin beats his tail off, man. I'm going to give him that because, like, he really battles. I was just really shocked by how it just wasn't a dynamic place as far as in-stadium and the team I expect to see from Oklahoma. And to look up there and see their last title being 2000, it just feels like they won one, like, 5 years ago. You know what I mean? But it's been a while. The people were amazing. And the statues y'all got, like, I took a picture by the Baker Mayfield statue, dude. It was amazing. And, like, I'm looking at these statues, Kyler Murray, Baker. And who would those Ole Miss people be? It would be Eli. It would be Arch. Lane would be, like, so that's how y'all need to think about this Florida-LSU. But regardless of what happens, if he goes to Florida, if he goes to LSU, right now I'd say the odds are he stays at Ole Miss still. If he gets out of this cycle – Steele's the head coach of Ole Miss, dude. It's over. You know what I mean?
But this is going to be insane, Ben, because we're talking about right now LSU, like, Penn State, Florida. Yes, yeah. Sorry, Florida. No, Florida State more than likely at the end of the year. Auburn more than likely.
It's like Spider-Man fighting everybody. You know, it's not just the Green Lantern, right? It's the Green Lantern, and here comes Rhino, right? Here comes Tombstone, right? Here comes the Vulture. Scorpion, it's everybody. They've all broken out of Rikers, and they're coming for the Spider-Man that is Lane Kiffin Ole Miss. It's hilarious. Like, Auburn, the whole 22 discussion, dude, was his flirtation with Auburn wrecked a season. 4 out of 5 losses to end that year, and that's what I thought was a possibility going to Oklahoma, and, man, they answered the bell. It was and as impressive as a win, I think you're right, the best win of Lane Kiffin's career, best one at Ole Miss. For what it means and just, like, all that's around it. Because, no, it's not a 22-2 redux, you know. No, it's not, you beat Georgia 28-10, an amazing day, but then you turned around and you lost to Florida. Like, no, this is an Ole Miss team that keeps stepping up to the plate. Their only loss is a touchdown loss in between the hedges at Athens. This is a good football team, right? Yeah. But I'm watching that MSU on the side of the helmet, and it's got the script. And that was the team, that script and that maroon and that team, that's the team that I grew up hating. Mm-hmm. But I was completely, I'll fully admit it, rooting for them. Because they are, I understand those people. I go to church with a lot of them, you know what I mean? Like, I know these people. That was painful. So there's one spectrum of Ole Miss and the accomplishment, and then there's another side where State's really struggling right now. And this is not about us comparing Florida to this and that, but, like, to see them struggle, I shared in that struggle because I understand it. And Ole Miss was almost in that exact same place, went through a lot of that same stuff, but they got their shit together, and they got a head coach that fits them perfectly.
I think for me,
it's more than just paying him $16 million. Ole Miss will stretch as far as it can. Maybe they can get to $16 million. I know they're ready to go to at least 13.5.
Yeah.
Hey. You might say, dang, we just fired Brian Kelly, and it's $100 million all in, and we got to pay him $13 million a year. Well, shoot, John, Summerall starts to look a lot better. James Franklin on the unemployment line starts looking a lot better.
Let's mention something about James Franklin. This is not an original idea. I've heard other people talk about this, but I love this idea for LSU or whoever decides to go after James Franklin. You pay James Franklin a lesser amount on a yearly salary, right? Because Penn State will make up for it. And then you take the money you would have paid him and put it towards NIL. To me, he should be the most attractive candidate for that reason. We know he can coach football. He made Vandy good. We've talked about this. He was a pretty good coach at Penn State despite failing expectations. But think
symphony.
About it. You Keep pay going. James Franklin $1.5 million, okay?
Yes.
Penn State makes up the rest.
Yes.
And then the rest of the money. Oh,
what
my
does that
God.
Make? What does that make, Sue? The best business sense. Y'all 100%. Are still obsessed with things. Yeah, I love y'all for it. Like, this is what I was getting to. State, the spirit of the thing, I wanted to hate you, but, man, I felt for the people. Like, the whole time, I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. It's happening to State, but also go, dude, Brandon Walker, that sucks, man. Like, he's been really wanting that win. And he represented a lot of people. A lot of people I know very well. So, like, to say that is pretty, you know, it's a big deal to me. Like, I'm an adult. I grew up, like, there were friendships lost.
I've never worn maroon in my life. I'm not joking to you when I say this.
I was a New Albany Bulldog, so I unfortunately had to.
I've never worn maroon, but God bless, man. They lost Mike Leach. They can't win the NIL era at all. And it just is now. It's like when you bully your brother, but then your brother falls on hard times, and you go, "Oh man, well he needs a win."
Well, it's the the business of the new world of college football. Mississippi State took longer to adapt.
Yep.
Florida, LSU, the new world, the business. You know what makes the most business? If you really want to be rational, give up all the things, the spirit of the thing that we all love, that we fell in love with this sport to begin with. We love hating our rivals. We love going and silencing a crowd of 83,000. We love all of that part. Like our dudes versus y'all's, we're better than y'all, talking our noise, having fun with the spirit of the thing. The band giving you chills when it plays, right? Plays your fight song. You're like, I've been waiting all week for this Saturday. It's still there physically. The spirit of the thing isn't the same. And it sucks for all of us. Like it bums me out. It's not the same in that way. It's never been more. Are you the best at efficiently running your business, the business of LSU, the business that is Florida, the business that is Ole Miss? Ole Miss is more of a mom and pop shop than the Walmart that is LSU. But that mom and pop shop has not only, like, if you really extrapolated out the per capita data, right? However y'all evaluate stuff, man, who's doing it better?
It's good Costco. For them. It's good Costco. For them. You have loyal members.
Good for them. So, like, if you made that move for James Franklin, you want to be rational? You want to make the most business sense? That made what, Sooner? The most business sense? James Franklin he would win like that. In this culture, when you only have to have two losses, you can have two losses and make the playoff of the SEC. LSU, come get Lane. That's fine. But, like, Ole Miss would go pay that tomorrow. Like, oh, shoot, maybe we could say, James, you want to come here? They would win on a similar way. Would it be as much fun? No. There'd be some identity stuff they'd have to figure out. James would have to unbutton his tie a little bit. But he's always been a supporting guy. He still goes to Vanderbilt games when he's not in season. You don't think he'd be fine, like, really schmoozing the Ole Miss donors and getting them on board? Oh, this fan base always rallies to the cause that is Ole Miss. It's about being the best at business now. I know that you want to preserve the spirit. I do, too. And that's why we'll keep doing the Game Runs Deep. And we'll keep talking to y'all and telling y'all this ain't about not liking Florida, thinking Florida's awesome, or LSU's awesome, or Penn State's friggin' awesome. Like, those are the teams we used to aspire to become the head coaches of when we played football, the football game in 14, before it became this new modernized thing. See, that's a good example. College football in 2025 for me and for a lot of you, too, that can't let go of the past. You like playing the new football game. Thank God it's back, right? Man, I've been wanting to play it for so long. It ain't the same. It ain't the same. And you're going to keep chasing those ghosts to complete and utter futility. Or you can start to make the best business decisions. Is it as much fun? Do you feel the same kind of connection? No. But you get what you always dreamed of, which is what? For Ole Miss, that was being right here amongst you. As a contemporary. That's been just as important to show for Ole Miss.
We've talked about it. I mean,
been as important for Ole Miss than anything else. We're just asking you to give them their flowers a little bit and go, Dan, you know what? Yeah, good for y'all, man. But we really want your coach. Hell yeah, you do. And it's a coin flip. You know, we'll see. Yeah. I think right now, if you made Ben Garrett, who writes for the Ole Miss Spirit, I'm not going to say my spiel, olemissspirit.com. If you live on three, sign up for $1. I would say the exact same thing. Based on the sources I've talked to all kind of assistant coaches in the tunnel at Oklahoma, players, like people coming up to me, talking to me about all kinds of stuff. I still think I would put my money on Lane Kiffin staying at Ole Miss. But at the end of the day, it's not about if Ole Miss is good enough anymore. You got to accept that they're sitting at your table now.
Yeah.
They don't got to say.
And not just Ole Miss is sitting at your table. Indiana's sitting at your table. Vanderbilt is sitting at your table. Georgia Tech is sitting at your table.
There's fairness. There's equitability, finally, in the sport. Is it the same? No, but still.
100%. Before we get to bless your heart, and we are going to be blessing some hearts today, of course, this is just one point I want to make. I don't want to spend too much time on this. Do you realize how little we've talked about Ohio State on this podcast? I don't think we've, outside of maybe the first week, they might be the least respected top-ranked team I've seen in years. Okay, they are quietly, and I say quietly because I'm telling you, the national conversation is everything but Ohio State. It's Diego Pavia and Lane Kiffin and all this other stuff.
You see, Theo Von's dating Diego Pavia's wife. He made good.
His mom, yeah. Listen,
and
Matt
she is
Patricia.
A woman. I'll give it to her.
She is something.
I'll give Theo, hey, shoot your shot, King.
We should have her on the podcast. Matt Patricia.
Be appropriate. Like, I'm an adult.
No, I want to talk about how she raised such a baller in Diego Pavia. So, listen.
You don't want to ask about, hey, so did you and Theo Von, did y'all really go out?
No.
Hey, where did y'all kiss? This E! Entertainment news shit that y'all we do now? It's ridiculous. It's always about everything but Ohio State. You're right.
It is everything but Ohio State.
Everything but.
Matt Patricia, dude, has come into the college football and is just absolutely owning these offenses. And let's be real. Their offense hasn't had to do much, but Julian Sayin is playing awesome. And this is a true freshman. I don't even know where he's headed. We talked about our guy at Michigan, my guy Bryce Underwood, right? And how good his future is going to be and how talented he is. But dude, Julian Sayin could win the Heisman next year. I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying the way he's playing, but nobody's talking about it right now. And I think this goes to the bigger point of the parity of the sport right now is other teams have leveled up so much that they are garnering the headlines. Meanwhile, powerhouse defending national champ Ohio State is dominating. They're not just winning, they're dominating. Nobody even cares because it's like, well, of course they are. You know what I mean? But I just wanted to make that point as to where college football has gotten to, because it's way more exciting to talk about Haynes King and Georgia Tech. It's way more exciting to talk about Diego Pavia. It's way more exciting to talk about Division II transfer Trinidad Chambliss. But there's Ohio State still trudging along, getting
at Ryan Day, who was that guy that everybody wanted to fire and see fall, and he won.
Yeah, think about that. And this is where I go with James Franklin.
The business of doing business well.
Yes.
Ryan Day was unpopular, but Ohio State said, no, this is as good as we're going to get. I think this is the best chance we have is with this guy. And they were right. The constant, just fierce feeling of now.
Yeah. No,
that's what's paralyzing you, LSU. That's what's paralyzing you, Flora. You know, LSU led to a lesser extent. Brian Kelly was a terrible fit. They made a bad hire. Even though he's great on paper football, but still, he wasn't.
Scott Woodward, who also hired Jimbo Fisher, by the way, he's now been responsible for $130 million in buyouts.
So if you're Lane Kiffin and you want – I get that end of it because that makes the most business sense. You want to secure one of those Scott Woodward's buyouts? Hell yeah, because that's the dream.
Yeah.
$60 million? But these narcissists, they can't let go of their egos. They want to get back in. Why? Go live.
I think Brian Kelly's done, dude. I don't know. Like, where does he go now? You leave one of the top jobs in the country, like where do you go back to, like, the Big Ten or something? Like,
dude,
he
Brian
might
Kelly?
Be done. Yeah, Brian Kelly might be done. Like,
dude, he's going to Penn State.
Is he going to coach? You think so? You think he's going to coach again?
I've been calling that for weeks. Go look on the Ole Miss Spirit, on 3, OleMissSpirit.com $1. Man, I've been saying Brian Kelly to Penn State. Matt Rhule ain't nothing to write home about. Kurt Cignetti was that dude now. That's who they wanted.
Yeah.
I said, Brian Kelly, watch for Brian Kelly at LSU. I'd have been hearing stuff about him losing his job this year, which is, I was like, I think I know this to be true, is like in my job, which isn't a real job. You know, I love what I do. But it's like, should I report that? I think I got this pretty well sourced, you know? And sure enough, I didn't know about all the stuff with the governor and everything. So obviously, I'm just stupid old Ben Garrett. But like, I knew that was coming down the pike. It felt like it. As best I knew it. And all I was hearing connected with that dude is Penn State. Like, and he'll go to Penn State. Because like, who else? You're gonna be a lot of coaches are gonna be selling, or a lot of programs, most of them are gonna be selling doubles as homers as we started this thing.
I think Brian Kelly's a downgrade from James Franklin, but you know
I agree.
Feel about him. Okay, I know I gotta get you to Lane's press conference.
We're fine.
Are you sure? Okay.
Well, here's the thing with Lane. His presser says, according to Ole Miss SID Kyle Campbell, he's one of the best in the business. Hi, Cal. Cal, he's one of my dudes. The Kiffin presser is starting no earlier than 12:05, so I got to get over there from New Albany. Here's the thing. Lane is never on time. It will be like there's a joke in that room. Neil, Sam, Michael Katz, my guy Jakey, Brad. Like, what do you – it's over under. 20 minutes today, you know? So, like, I know I've got an hour still,
okay.
Right,
all right,
to get here to there. Maybe even an hour and a half because he's never on time. And, dude, he's come in one time. Like 45 minutes late. Meanwhile, you got my guy Brent Venables giving every week to his little media group 45 minutes of a beautiful football, you know, soliloquy all day. You know what I mean? But it's way more fun for Lane. I just thought it was funny. So, yeah, we got some time.
See, that's the thing. He can do what he wants. Okay. Let's bless some hearts. Now, I will say, some people reached out about last week. So, I don't know if you guys knew this, but Amazon Web Services, it's one of the biggest providers for websites and servers across the world.
Because we live in an oligarchy, Sue.
Was down last week. So I was uploading. We use a software called Riverside. So I upload our video clips to there. Ben and I watch them together. We react to them. It would not even load. And so that was the issue.
That's what she
said. Okay. We still do those.
But I'm 40 and old.
But I had some people reach out and go, dude, what the hell? Like, why didn't you guys do it? Or, oh, you said you might do it on TikTok later. It's like, no.
Sudu hates, you know why, friend? You know why? Because Sudu Upadeya is a thief of joy.
That's exactly what it is.
He hates us. Even though we pour ourselves into him, as is biblical, pour into your peoples, man. Pour into those who pour into you. And, man, we just try. We give and we give.
And all he does is take, and gives nothing.
He takes and he takes.
That's my favorite bit I love to do to people. It's like, all I do is give, and you take. My exes know all about that. All right, let's get to it.
That's what she said. Go.
We're going to start with Louisiana Tech hosting Western Kentucky, rather, and let me actually lower the volume on this, because good God. Okay, so...
I didn't get to watch much of any football, by the way, outside of the game.
Fun fact, this was a game from last Tuesday night.
Oh, nice.
So anybody that doesn't think I love college football, you're wrong,
because
I was plugged into this game on a Tuesday night.
The fact that he knew to go pull this play is insane. Go.
Oh, yeah. So kick return. Western Kentucky's up 20-7. Louisiana Tech third quarter here returning the ball. Look at that. The old trickery there.
It's like the old Tennessee Titan play.
Now wait. What?
Music City Miracle.
No, you missed it. You're focused on
who's the great? Is a great design. Go.
You're looking at Devin Gandy right now. I need you to look at the middle of the field and check for the official. You ready?
Oh, yes.
All right.
They deserve some.
Here we go. So we're going middle of the field. Official right there. Oh. How do they pancake the zebra, man? That's what I call the zebra cake right there, Benny. Look at that. Oh, my God. Dude, that was personal.
Hey,
why?
It's me. I bet you're wondering how I got here.
Brother, what did he do? He was just standing there.
It's like he sacrificed himself. It's like he wanted it, that masochist, you know? It's like...
And then number 12 for Western Kentucky. We should bless his heart, but Mr. Official, sir, I don't even know your name. I didn't even look up what crew was on this game on CBS Sports Network on a Tuesday. Man. But, sir, bless your heart.
Your heart. That man said to himself, you know what? I saw what they did to Ken Williamson. I'm just going to take myself out.
Just take it. Take it.
Oh, my God. Right. I'm going to get that injury settlement.
Seriously, that was something else. All right, next up, Oklahoma, Ole Miss.
Yes.
Ben and I have been singing the praises of William Echols for weeks now. We've been saying he's the best player on their defense, and he proved that against
State kid, man. He's
Oklahoma.
Awesome.
Now check this out. William Echols. Oh, that's the center. Yes, sir.
Cam Franklin coming with him, though. Two in-state kids. Show him again. Watch him. William. Bop. Now here he comes. Cam. Got him. Bottled up.
I mean, before John Mateer could even react, he was in his face. That is Jake Mayakula, I believe is how you say his name, rocking the number 69 jersey there, but that was not very nice. Jake Mayakula, bless your heart,
because, buddy, you got tooken for a rideth. Holy cow, put you into the ground like you typically hear on the 69. Go!
All right, next up, we're going to go to Alabama, South Carolina. Reps of South Carolina this week. Hey South Carolina
Ty
put
Simpson.
Up... South Carolina put up a little fight. It was a 22-22 game with 42 seconds left. 3rd and 10, Bama trying to drive down the field, maybe get a field goal to win the game. Jeremy Bernard doesn't care. Direct snap. What is number one doing? That's
doing,
DQ
dude?
Smith.
What are you doing?
My guy, direct snap. The pitch fake to Ty Simpson.
He said
okay.
He needed a lunch break, man.
Number one, DQ Smith. Ben, he is there to make the play. The sideline is right there. There isn't much Jeremy Bernard should be able to do.
He saw that big 7-7-something coming up and 71. He said, no, I'm going to make a business decision. Problem is,
Ben,
buddy, you got to get him on the sideline. Push him out.
Why is he doing this? Why has he got his hands up like he's playing basketball?
Wait, I need a tinfoil hat, okay? Because, like, dude, after this sports betting stuff with Chauncey Billups and them, dude, come on, what are we doing?
DQ Smith, we are not in any way, shape, or form saying that you threw this game. What we are saying, DQ Smith, is bless your heart. And that was it. That's all she wrote. That's how Bama won that game.
Why are you telling him? No, you're good. You can go. Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah, no, fine. You first.
I know that the film study on Sunday was hell for DQ Smith.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
That had to be hell.
I don't know what he's thinking. He's not trying to push him out. He's, like, quite literally saying, oh, no, you got the sideline, honey, go. Like, what are we doing?
Dive at his feet. Try something, brother.
It's like he's concerned. And then he watches him. And then throws up his hands like, oh, it's not. Where were you? So, dude, it was you. First of all, you didn't come up. When you had, because you saw two coming in your face, like he didn't take it. It's a good play.
Whoa, pause.
Look at this. He was already scared to death of 75. He's more worried about him and getting hit by him than he was taking him.
Ben, I feel like all he had to do was fall forward and he would have at least touched Bernard. He would have at least gotten.
Like, quite literally push his dang shoulder pad.
Something.
Like he's stepping out of bounds. You gave him the sideline. Not only that, you ushered him to the end zone. That's pathetic, man. Holy
I don't know.
Crap.
I don't know what that was, but that was enough for us to bless your heart.
I didn't realize I'd be so triggered on bless your heart. Holy
Brother,
cow.
I'm telling you, we had some plays this week. All right, our final one, and we just want to also add in before we finish up, if you ever see a play, please send it to us. I forgot who sent you this week's play, the William Echols play, but
Destin Bryant, loyal listener.
Destin Bryant, man. Appreciate you, bro, always for sending in the plays. We only have four this week. Because I only felt like we needed four.
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Yeah, I got to do it. I'm sorry to our brethren down in Starkville, but you never punt the ball to Ryan Niblett. I don't know what jersey number this is, because Niblett moves so quick. I couldn't even tell you. I think it's Fat Forrest, Cyrus Reyes, maybe, and Trevion Williams. Fellas, I can't even blame you. I mean, this is what this guy does. One of the most lethal punt returners in the country. One guy.
Don't blame
another
him.
Guy.
Don't blame him.
I mean, that's now, a defensive lineman, number 23, Trevion Williams. I mean, he came in just running, and before he knew it, he was shuffling his feet because Nesbitt was gone.
Dude, at least the punter tried to come in there and actually, like, make it hard on him, unlike the dude for South Carolina, you know?
At least that goodness. Dude
who had no business mixing it up tried to and save a win, the first in 16 SEC games for State. But no, you can bless – well, I'm going to bless some hearts. Here we go. You ready? Bless you. That was terrible. That's fine. Bless you. That was pathetic. Wait.
Cyrus Reyes,
bless that
I think.
Guy. He came in and tried and blessed that big dude. But the punter came in there, and at least he gave a shit.
Hey, State.
You're up 17.
This is to your whole fan base, and I mean this in the most genuine and sincere way possible. Bless your heart.
Bless your friggin' hearts. Brandon, legitimately, bless your heart. That was awful.
Brutal. Brutal, brutal situation.
Objectively, hilarious. Also, two things can be true. Hilarious, but also, bless you, bro. That was brutal.
Tough.
Brutal.
Okay, before we get to Week 10 matchups, I do want to talk about Texas A&M with you. Now, over the last few weeks, I mentioned we've been kind of waiting to see if this team is actually who maybe the rankings say they are or the record says they are. And I'd started kind of giving them their flowers maybe 2 weeks ago, thinking, hey, Marcel Reed's kind of starting to come along. The defense actually is pretty good, although their defense is kind of all over the place, I feel like, sometimes. But I still kind of felt like, but are they built for the playoff? Like, would they be able to beat a team like a Georgia or, an Alabama or Ole Miss or anyone? I guess Ole Miss would be more on their level, quote unquote. But I think after this weekend and what they did to LSU in Death Valley, granted, LSU's not the great team that a lot of people thought they were coming into the season, but to win 49-25 in Death Valley still means something. Are you finally ready to give Texas A&M their flowers?
Yes. I'm sorry. I was wrong. It's that easy. Yeah, I was wrong. Reed, man, there are some things that you could pick apart, but in this 100%. Culture, there is very few that you'd put your money. They're just so insanely competent. And if you are LSU.
That's a credit to Mike Elko, who, by the way, shout out to A&M fans. You remember when. Who were they going for? They were going for Mark Stoops. Was that right? When the Elko hire was happening? And those fans said, hell, they were like, hell no. And they were able to, I think Ross, was Ross still there?
Ross brought in Mike Elko. Ross did a lot of good things also. Like
he also extended Jimbo Fisher. We talk about Scott Woodward hiring him. Well, guess who extended Fisher? It was Ross Bjork.
Yes. So, but he nailed that one because Mike Elko has worked, and that is being the reason he has not fallen, how he keeps falling upwards. That's not necessarily fair to Ross because, honestly, Mike Elko is a shrewd business move. That man is a good business decision maker. The reason why Ohio State is so boring is because they're so well ran and competent. That's why LSU and Florida fans, everyone's talking about you because y'all can't shut up because of it's like watching a train wreck. No one's denying that the train when it was running was really pretty, really awesome, the best train you ever saw, like bullet train, man. Unfortunately. Y'all got derailed pretty quickly, and it's like you can't look away from the disaster. Like, both of you are awesome. Ole Miss is just ran better. Ross Bjork, Mike Elko, Texas A&M, all those connect. What is the common denominator? Business competency. This runs straight up. It's run better than anybody.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to try to replicate or duplicate it, but unless you've got real uniformity in the business structure, buddy, it's going to be hard, regardless of who you go hire to win the press conference. Because y'all are worried about winning press conferences and splashes. What you need to be worried about is how your balance sheet works out and how you can really allocate your resources.
And then maybe you'll even get lucky, like with Elko, who does win the press conference, too. He's an objectively hilarious guy. I love watching him.
John Summerall would do it. He'd be 100%. Awesome in the press conference. Like y'all are just thinking about this the wrong way. Y'all want splashes and home runs, and guys, it's not about that anymore.
Yeah. A&M, and look, I think everyone has known this about Texas A&M, which is if they could just get it together and bring the right guy that fits their culture, the money is so ridiculous down there that they could do this. And what I like about them, Ben, is if you kind of go down through their schedule and you look at those like final scores and box scores, they've won in very different ways. Like, you look at that Notre Dame game, that was a close one till the very end, 41-40. Auburn was a dogfight, 16-10. Then they have games like Mississippi State, 31-9. They have this LSU game. Arkansas was a close one. They just find ways to win. And that, to me, that's really valuable in determining how good a team will be as the season goes on and in those tough matchups, maybe in the playoffs, in the postseason or whatever, is if they can win close games, that shows you they just have that ability to pull it out. And that's all that matters at the end of the day, is that W. Now they have Missouri on the road, South Carolina, Samford at Texas. They're on the driver's seat right now, the third-ranked team in the country. I mean, even if they lose, they have room to lose two more because they're undefeated. I mean, they're a lock in for the playoff already. So shout out to Mike Elko, man, doing what a lot of guys couldn't. Kevin Sumlin, Jimbo Fisher.
I'm still to this day will defend. I think Kevin Sumlin would have been great had he not gone to Texas A&M at the time, because it was just so disastrous of a place to go to at the time. So toxic. Like, a few.
It also sounds like with Sumlin, I was a huge fan of his, but then, you know, you listen to like these stories Johnny Manziel tells on his podcast now, and he kind of seems like he was a bit it's the ego factor, like another coach that I'm not a huge fan of, where it's like my way or the highway. I'm right. Nobody else is right. I only listen to me. That's the kind of vibe that at least Manziel explains Sumlin had. But
I think it'd have been great. Johnny Manziel's a lot of things can be true there too. Like, it's not like either of them particularly handled situations well. That's why those things fail. It's why Ole Miss is so successful. It sounded great on paper. Kevin Sumlin somewhere else, with hindsight, man, I could name you a number of jobs. He was supposed to be at Texas A&M because God is sovereign. And like Johnny Manziel was supposed to be there, what happened. It failed, but it made a lot of sense on paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin on paper at Ole Miss makes sense, but also operationally makes sense. Yeah. There are very few programs that are running more efficiently than Ole Miss. And y'all should just give them some love for that. And respect that they can put up a fight now to not only keep their coach, but make it more, if not at the very worst, a coin flip.
Yeah, no doubt. So shout out to Texas A&M. You guys got to figure it out.
Wrong.
As now.
I own it. Marcel Reed, he's doing the thing, man. Like, it's really cool to see Texas A&M. And I wanted to make a point of this because we need to have the conversation. You and I, both personally and on Game Runs Deep. There has not been a better fit for the expansion teams in the SEC than Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. And I've never been more confirmed by that, because Oklahoma's awesome, but it didn't feel like an SEC environment. It felt like I was going somewhere new and I hadn't experienced and I didn't really know. I get what Lane was saying, and he's like, there's Oklahoma doesn't make any sense. Not because it isn't awesome, it's because That was the third game Ole Miss and Oklahoma had ever played. Ole Miss is undefeated against the Sooners, and everyone objectively
and
would
it's
say,
about to be a rivalry because it's that's your permanent opponent now.
Texas A&M, meanwhile, seamlessly, like all the goofy traditions that we all mock and make fun of, that's the spirit of the thing.
I still think they're a cult and they're weird as hell, but they can win.
But also, you know what they probably think of you as an Ole Miss person? A number of things.
Oh, yeah.
Including you're stupid idiot from Mississippi because you're from Mississippi.
No.
Point is like they've embraced the culture and who they are, but also they've stepped up to the plate too, uniformity. Man, Texas A&M is a great example of that, and there's been no better fit for than the expansion teams. And if you try to tell me other expansion teams, I don't even know where you go. Because Texas A&M's really, to me, Texas too, the Texas schools, but outside of that, like Oklahoma didn't feel like an SEC school. But Texas A&M, dude, they've been getting to this point or trying to get to this point for so long, and now they're here, dude. Hell they yeah are. For Mike Elko, and I own it. I was wrong.
They're explosive, too. I think
I wasn't wrong. My skepticism was unwarranted. They are a legit football team.
But they've proven it now week in and week out against different caliber of teams. And the biggest thing that stands out to me is just how explosive they are, man. Like, we've talked about Mario Craver and Concepcion on this podcast, and just like those guys always seem like they're open, and Marcel Reed has the big arm to be able to find them down the field. I just love how explosive they are. And the other thing Texas A&M's doing well is this new NIL era. Think about where those guys came from. They got Craver from Mississippi State.
Yep.
Concepcion came from, is it NC State?
NC State.
That might be. Okay, that might be. So, you know, it's like
Ole Miss tried to get him too. I was just trying to remember if that was the same guy.
Yeah, and so it's like they've used everything available to them in this new era to now become the third-ranked team in the country and undefeated. And Ben and I both acknowledge that Texas A&M's a great team. Are they beatable? Sure. But they're a great team, and they deserve the respect. All right, Week 10 matchups, Ben. Let's run through these quick. Number 9, Vandy at number 20, Texas. The Commodores have now moved to number 9. They beat Mizzou. I freaking called it. I knew they would. Everyone wants to give credit to Diego Pavia, as they should. He's the mascot of the team. He's the energizer. He's the gamer. But their defense, man, you got to shout out their defense. Vandy's playing really well on defense, especially the defensive line. That was a close one this weekend, and they were able to pull it out. Now they have to go the DKR against a surging Texas squad. I don't know the update on Arch Manning and maybe a concussion situation.
Surging Texas?
I think that's fair. That was his best game. I mean, 340-plus yards, 3 touchdowns, but he did go out late, and once again, I'm not sure what his availability is going to look like for this weekend. I haven't checked on that. It is early Monday right now. But you think Vandy can do what we would have thought was the unthinkable even a couple years ago and go into Texas and win?
It'll be a letdown, disappointment, the result that doesn't make sense if they don't. They're the better football team. And, yeah, I expect – Diego Pavia has been my A1 since day one of when game runs deep. You know that. You can vouch for me. I thought we might get an upset-filled weekend in the SEC potentially. I almost hit on 2 of 3. But Vanderbilt was better than Missouri. And now Missouri doesn't have – Vanderbilt won this weekend, and Missouri now doesn't have Bo Perbula. You know what I mean? And, yeah. So Eli Drinkwitz, you know what I'm saying? A good team going to the playoffs, and a Missouri now opening up the window of opportunity that fits the timetables of Florida and LSU for Eli Drinkwitz to go to one of those two places that actually feel like the SEC, because Missouri is very much not have that kind of feel or those resources. And you might not like that as a Florida fan. No, we're getting Kiffin, you stupid idiot, not Eli Drinkwitz. Eli Drinkwitz would be money for you right now.
Yeah,
not saying I wouldn't either.
And I'll give Mizzou credit. They've done a hell of a job with their NIL laws in that state. Mm-hmm. That gives them a leg up. And there's some other coach that could 100%
step in. Brett Bielema would be awesome there. He wouldn't win like they want to win, so they wouldn't hire him.
I was going to say, I don't know if Burt's the move for Mizzou. I think Mizzou has leveled up.
Yeah, and they'll go make some big swings. But, Drink is ready to move. And he'll go to Florida. He would run, crawl to LSU, to Baton Rouge, but all y'all can think about is Kiffin, Kiffin, Kiffin. Y'all are all trying to sell doubles, most all of them. I don't even know who really is a homer, but you all going to try to sell them as homers when y'all really need to be worried about not winning press conferences, but winning business meetings.
Yeah. All right, so Vandy, Texas, what's your prediction?
Vandy.
You're taking Vandy.
Vandy is better than them.
I love it. I love it. I want to lean Vandy.
No more saying, oh, it's Vandy. It's fun. They're Vandy. Yeah. They're good.
they're good. That's and good their defense team. Is good. And I'll say this, Texas's defense, it's like the week that I give their defense credit, the following week, they're not good. I don't know what the hell.
I about you, dude. I swear.
I don't know what to think about this Texas team anymore. They've spent the NIL money. They have NFL draft picks all across this team. And yet they're the most inconsistent team in the world. I don't know what to think about them. I'm taking Vandy at DKR as well. All right.
Why would you, if you're LSU, honestly, I'm asking you, make this make sense to me. Why isn't Clark Lee like the most popular guy for everybody?
Well, I'll say this. Nick Saban on College Game Day said, y'all better do whatever it takes to keep him. And Penn State, I know that that's what they did last time. They got the Vandy to Penn State. But, hey, I think Clark Lee could go up to Penn State, and they could be really good too. But
and guess what? A reunion with Vanderbilt and a legit title contender Vanderbilt and James Franklin would do numbers.
Could you imagine that?
Numbers.
Franklin's back at the school he put. Yeah, that would be something. Georgia, Florida, cocktail party going down. And I know I'm not supposed to call it that, but I don't cover UGA anymore, and they can't tell me what to do. Number five, Georgia, against Florida. Neutral site game, Jacksonville, it's always crazy. DJ Lagway a year ago had Florida rolling before he got hurt. Georgia really had to eke that one out. We've seen Georgia's defense is not what it has been in the past. They're coming off of a bye week, obviously, at the big win over Ole Miss. Maybe some more confidence for that team. Maybe some rest if there were any injury concerns. Does Florida have any shot at getting that kind of that morale-raising win this weekend against the Dogs?
No. They're concerned with everything else but winning a football game against Georgia at the cocktail party on Saturday. Georgia's going to win that and win it pretty easily.
Yeah, I think Gunnar Stockton's performance from Ole Miss carries on.
I was a Gunnar Stockton skeptic.
Yeah.
And you were absolutely 100% on him. You said, no, this isn't just, oh, Ben, and I covered Georgia, stop being an idiot. This was like, yeah, this kid's legit. He's legit. I mean,
he's just a gamer. Like, he fits the mold of
he's Kyle Trask.
Right. That's a great, yeah. Like, he's a better passer than Haynes King or Diego Pavia and all that, for sure. But, like, he is just the guy that will do whatever the hell it takes to win the game. And that's what Gunnar Stockton does.
He's Bo Wallace. He's Chad Kelly a little bit, you know? Like, he's got that.
I still maintain to this day that Chad Kelly is way better than anybody gives him credit for.
No, say what you really want to say. He's the best quarterback in Ole Miss history.
That's not true. That's always going to be Eli Manning to me.
I agree, but that's not what I said. If Sudu could make an argument, that's where he'd start.
I would start with him being number two, 100%. In the modern era, he would be number two before Dart. Mississippi State at Arkansas. This is a
They're going to lose this one. They're finding new ways to lose these games to not win an SEC game. Like, Jeff Lebby has them on the right track, but they just can't win.
They have great offensive game plan, and you know their defense is just non-existent. And Talen Green, I have a feeling, is going to score a lot of points.
You think Petrino's just going to route him up? Going to just like terrorize him?
I think so. I think Bobby Petrino is going to solidify by the end of the year his return to Fayetteville.
I refuse for Ole Miss to be the first SEC win for Mississippi State in the last 20. They will win this weekend, and whoever they play next week, State's beating them too. I will say it until they win one of these things, because the most Ole Miss thing in the world to do would be to go have one loss going into Mississippi State, and that be the one they win. Their Super Bowl, and Ole Miss is going to
in Starkville too this year.
Ole Miss is at home for a month before having to finish the season in Starkville, and last year it was a disappointment enough, and also the Egg Bowl sucked. So, oh gosh, get you one, State. Starts this weekend. Woo!
All right. Number 18, Oklahoma. Number 14, Tennessee. This is, this is a playoff elimination for both sides, right? I mean, two losses, both teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, if they have any shot at getting in, this is a huge one. I lean towards Tennessee. It's at Neyland.
Same.
And I think Tennessee right now is playing better. Maybe Oklahoma's defense rebounds after the Ole Miss game and steps up a little bit, but and also I don't know, maybe Mateer's not 100%. It's hard for me to sit here and say Oklahoma's offense could do anything just because they can't push the ball down the field. And Tennessee's defense is sus. Like, you could 100% do it to them, but I think I'm gonna go with Tennessee.
Tennessee, I had the best view in the house to watch, to really watch Oklahoma up close, and I was underwhelmed. And that included them being the best defense Ole Miss had statistically played all year. But they also were exposed a little bit. They were a good defense, and Brent Venables always has good defenses. Sorry, I'm boring you to yawn.
No, I'm just tired.
But me too. It was a good defense, but it wasn't like this otherworldly defense. They got exposed a little bit by Ole Miss, the best offense they had played all year. So I'm picking Tennessee at home. Even though Oklahoma and John Mateer, they're competing their tails off. I agree with you, though. He doesn't look healthy.
I will say, I mean, Cutter Bowley threw for 330 yards and 5 touchdowns against Tennessee. So if Kentucky can put up that many points, maybe maybe we should have a little more faith.
Kentucky is – you talk about sus. Is that how I used that? Is that right? Kentucky,
that's not even the true – I was trying to say suspect, but, you know.
But yeah. See, wait a second. My 13-year-old said that's not what sus means.
Sus means like
– don't do this. We got more to cover. God.
It's a
don't make me – don't try to educate me on how to be cool. It's not possible. My 13-year-old thinks I'm dumber than a bag of dicks.
Sus would be like if you like was like looked me up and down and were like, oh, man, you look good today. I'd be like, bro, that's sus. Chill out.
Dude, I tell you, you look good all the time. Look at
you
now.
Well, it's
like you dress for the assignment. Look at me. I'm looking like dumb old me.
I'm just wearing a Dale Senior sweatshirt right now,
and it's awesome. Meanwhile, I just got that old Nike that I got on sale at Academy. You know, my wife.
This is a Daytona 500. This was actually a jersey swap between me and my ex. I gave her a Braves Waffle House Champs. It's a Champs with the Waffle House letters,
yes,
and the Braves A. And she gave me this Dale Senior. I just love this, and I was like, I want it. And so we did a little jersey swap. Shout out to Madison for that.
Yeah, so you're hip. You don't have to explain sus. Like you have jersey swaps with your ex. You know, I don't know. I won't get to tell those stories.
I was like, hey,
know?
good game, big dog, good game. It's been real. And we swapped jerseys.
Yeah,
you know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's beautiful. It's like Jackson Dart and Saquon on Sunday. You know, Jackson doesn't have a good day, but buddy, he got him a jersey swap. Good for you, Sue. I'll never know those days or understand those
days. You met your wife in high school or college.
That's my baby. That's honey, baby. We ain't talking about honey
you,
like that.
You won. Okay, you won. Let me tell you this, and this is, we're going to get kind of off the rails with this, but we're basically done with the podcast. If you don't want to listen anymore, feel free to log off. My point is, you got
I'm
the dream.
I'm looking down here at him most of the time. That's why I'm not always looking at the camera. I'm always watching Sudu. Look at it, because he's so pretty. See, I can say it. Look at it. Oh, he's so pretty.
You won, man. You know, people tell me, like, my friends in my in their late 30s are like, oh, man, it's so cool. You get to still go on dates, and you get to da-da-da-da-da, and you travel and all this. And I'm like, dude, I envy you.
Tell me
you.
He's not humble bragging. Tell me he's not, kind of sus, though, bro. You do kind of humble bragging.
No, I'm that's not how you use that, by the way. But I'm like, I tell my friends, I'm like, you're the winner, bro. You got a house, you got a wife. There's no pressure for you to have to like impress anybody. I mean, of course, you want to like impress
hold
your
up,
significant
wait,
other,
constantly.
But you don't have to be out here dating in this cold world. No, that's what I'm saying. You still got to riz up your partner, but it's like, it's
the
stressful out here,
life,
man.
That's the only advice I'll ever give you in relationship advice. Between
dating
you and
in
me,
2025, let me just tell you, for those who have not been in the game for long, it's just a trust issue inducing environment. Everybody's on a dating app. You have so many
like
people accessible to you, and you never know. Like, you may be seeing someone for 4 months and out of nowhere they just ghost you. Like, it's just it's a crazy time. So anyone at home
I
with
love
a happy,
Emily
happy
Armstrong,
life,
I have
wife.
For a long, 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 long time. That's honey. Yeah. And God, you're right, has been very, very good to me and has blessed me, including two daughters that I adore, 13 and 9, more than I ever have before even. And my 13-year-old tries to tell me what sus is, or says I say things wrong all the time, which I know most of the time I'm joking. I know some of it, and I'm just kind of playing it up a little bit. But Sudu's right, especially, and Gracie's right. I'm not cool. And I can't say sus.
You've always
it's
been
sus
cool,
that
Ben.
You think I can't say sus, though. Did I use it right?
No.
No.
No, you did. But that's okay. All right. Anyways, well, thanks so much for joining us for another episode of Game Runs Deep, everybody. Remember, you can follow Ben at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Find me at Sudu TV on Twitter, on Instagram, on TikTok. That is where you'll find all of our clips. You can also find it on Ben's Instagram at Spirit Ben, Mudcat Media as well on YouTube, Ole Miss Spirit, Sudu TV. We're all over, man. You can find Game Runs Deep. It's clips all over the internet. Thank you.
What is that Ole Miss Spirit tag that I say all the time? What is it?
Sign up now for $1 a day.
Oh, yeah. Dang, you said it, not me.
I got to memorize now. And just want to, once again, we do this every week at the end of the episode, but this is now our 10th episode, and we just want to really appreciate the support. Like, the numbers are pretty awesome. I've been talking to, I can't really say just quite yet because it's not official and it hasn't been confirmed, but I've been talking to different potential advertisers and things, and it's really nice to be able to look across all of our channels and look at the interactions and the views and be like, this is kind of legit. This isn't just Ben and Sudu's hobby. This is like legitimate.
We're gonna do this anyway. We just decided. Yeah. We're
just like, I quit my full time job and I'm freelancing for, nationally now. And I'm like, hey, I don't have to cover a local team or, any of this stuff. And let's just do this. Ben and I have been friends for years and loved working together when I was in college. And I was like, let's do this podcast. And now I'm looking at Ben. I'm like, we got BNA Bank on board and we got Mudcat that we're licensing with. And, there's some other things hopefully coming down the pipeline, and it's all because people actually give a shit and listen, which is awesome. So thanks to everyone that does on a weekly basis, whether that's our Ole Miss Spirit family or whether that's people on YouTube or TikTok or whatever. Really appreciate it. Benny?
Breaking news, Sudu.
Yeah.
Breaking news into the newsroom, Sudu. Lane Kiffin's press conference, originally scheduled for no earlier than 12:05, according to Kyle Campbell, as of 11:46 a.m., has been pushed back with apologies until 1 p.m. 1 p.m., folks. 1 p.m. So officially,
it's because our guy Kyle loves game runs deep, and he had to toss.
They're waiting on me.
They're waiting on Ben Garrett. No one asks questions like Ben Garrett, folks.
Yeah, that's not true. But I'm asking them, even though I fully expect myself to be like to sound dumb. That's the whole thing. Like, don't take yourself that so seriously. And that's why it's been really fun to do this with Sudu, who said such nice things, because just being honest and open, even if it could be really, really stupid, was something that was hard for me to do. But not anymore, because what's the worst that could happen? They fire me? Love you, buddy.
All right, Benny. We'll see you guys next week.
Hey, it's Austin James. Yes, I'm living with diabetes, but it doesn't have to define me. Thanks to the Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor, I get real-time glucose readings throughout the day. The Freestyle Libre 3 Plus sensor is small and easy to wear, giving me the freedom to focus on my life as a parent and a musician. Now this is progress. You can get a free sensor at freestylelibre.us.
Offer available for people who qualify. Visit myfreestyle.us to see all terms and conditions. Certain exclusions apply. Data on file, Abbott Diabetes Care, for prescription only. Safety info found at freestylelibre.us.